Psalm 37, verse 26 to 31. I'll read verse 26, and then you read 27 with me, all right? He is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. Depart from evil and do good, and dwell forevermore. For the Lord loveth judgment and forsaketh not his saints. They are preserved forever, but the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell therein forever. The mouth of the righteous speaketh wisdom, and his tongue talketh of judgment. The law of God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. And let's pray. Father, we sure do need you tonight. We thank you for your word, Lord. We as your people, we need your help. You're the one who's able to keep us from falling. And Lord, it's your grace that will help us to be presented faultless before you. Lord, help our walk with you to be strengthened because of what we learn. We love you. Please help us to love you more. In Jesus' name, amen. My text tonight is verse number 31. The law of God is in his heart, and none of his steps shall slide. And as you look at that, the title of the sermon tonight is, How to Not Backslide. How do you avoid backsliding? When you think of the word backslide, it's found, if you look it up, it's found 10 times in the Bible. The word backslide and backsliding is only found in the Old Testament. Verses like this. Proverbs 14:14, the backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. So what's one of the main traits of a backslidden Christian? One of the main traits God says is they're wrapped up in self. A backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. I want to do this, and I want to do that, and I've always wanted to. What about the cause of Christ? What does God want you to do? You should always be happy as a child of God to do what God wants you to do. So what's one trait of a backslider is that they're very selfish. It's found 6 times in the book of Jeremiah itself, the word backslider, backsliding. It refers to a cow going up a hill. And I remember watching our cows, you know, when I was growing up, go up the hill, and you'd see some of them stumble and slip back. And that's literally what it's talking about, going in a forward direction, but I'm sliding backwards. I'm not going in the direction that I'm facing. The concept of backsliding is mentioned in the New Testament, even though the word is not. We know that once a Christian is saved, praise the Lord, they can't lose their salvation. Okay? We know that. But a Christian can become cold-hearted towards the things of God and God's will. Hebrews 2, 1 through 4, when I think of backsliding, this is the first verse in the New Testament that comes to my mind. But therefore we ought to give more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast and every transition and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? And that's not talking about a lost person neglecting getting saved. That's talking about a child of God not taking advantage of what God gives you when He saves you. And He says, don't let what you've been taught slip. And that's along the lines of backsliding. Backsliding. In Revelation 2:4, God makes another mention. I know there's you probably have maybe some verses of your own that come to your mind when you think of in the New Testament pictures of backsliding. But God says this, Jesus is talking to the church at Ephesus, and He says, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love. So Jesus says to His church, to His people, you don't love me like you used to. You got so wrapped up in the work and so wrapped up in things and think you may be doing the work of God, but your heart, Jesus said, is far from me. And if we aren't careful, that can happen to all of us. I know I've had times when I've backslidden, and I know what it's like to go soul winning backslidden. I won big days. I won bus programs backslidden. I knew I was in the flesh. I knew how to do it. I knew the methods. I knew all of that. I knew I wasn't yielded to the Holy Spirit. And I won contests. I have a suit in my closet. It's a full silk suit. It's one of Brother Hiles' silk suits. And they were giving that away on the program. I'll never forget when I won that prize. You had this many people saved and this many people on your bus, and I knew I was backslidden as the day is long. And so I know you can accomplish things for God while you're in the flesh. It just helps you, and it's more rewarding when you yield to the Holy Spirit and you're not backslidden. Amen? Okay. You could use Peter as an illustration of backsliding when he got away from the Lord and denied his Savior and what caused him to go out and weep bitterly. You could use Lot as an illustration of a backslidden Christian. He was Abraham's nephew. He was trained right, raised right, but when he got older, he parted from Abraham and pitched his tent towards Sodom. And then we know what happened after that. Became a governor and then obviously lost his family. God calls a Lot a saved person in 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 6 through 9. As we look at Psalm 37 tonight, Psalm 37 is just, it's one of the more famous Psalms. It stands out. It's more like a book, it's more like a proverb than it is, because most of the verses seem to stand by themselves. You don't need the whole Psalm to get something out of it. And I won't go into Psalm, that's not the lesson tonight, but God used David to pen this later in life. And you can see in verse number 25 there. Look at verse number 25. I have been young and now am old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. So David is in his latter part of his life. He's an older man. And God uses him to pen his word in this psalm. David, the sweet psalmist of Israel, the man after God's own heart, the warrior and ruling king in Israel. Verse 31, the law of his God is in his heart, none of his steps shall slide. And you kind of see David's leaning here as you read through this psalm. He says, I don't want to slide. I don't want to backslide. And that's David's, and what you start learning in the Christian life is no one jumps or falls into a life of disobedience to the Word of God. No one does. No one falls into sin. When God saved you, God gave you the Holy Spirit of God inside of you. Now the devil is treacherous and he's been deceiving Christians for a long time and he's real good at his job. However, nobody falls into sin. If you're saved, you walked into it with your eyes wide open. And you knew what was going on. If I do this, this will bring the judgment of God. You say, well, I didn't know that was in the Bible. It's more of a heart issue. It's more of a heart issue. But nobody, they were faithful to church and tithing and soul winning and serving the Lord, and all of a sudden, boop, they're not here anymore. That doesn't happen. It is a gradual process. It's the frog in the boiling water, you know. They put it in cold water and it's a happy swimmer. Then they turn the fire on and then finally it dies. But it's a slow process. It's a slow process. No one jumps or falls into a life of disobedience to the Word of God. There's always a slow, gradual process. It doesn't happen overnight. Dr. Bob Jones Sr. used to say, behind every tragedy in human character is a slow process of wicked thinking. Something was happening. Something was happening. You say, you don't come to church and enjoy the music and enjoy the preaching and enjoy growing as a Christian and serving the Lord, and all of a sudden, pew, I think I'll just get out of church and never go to church again. They were thinking some thoughts long before that. It was a process of wicked thinking. Galatians 6 verses 7 through 8 says, be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. You can't keep listening to the wrong music. You can't keep hanging around the wrong crowd or looking at pornography on the internet or using social media to stay connected to people who don't love the Lord and it not affect you. God is not mocked. I can do this and it not affect me. God says, I will not be mocked. No one plays with sin and comes away unhurt. And you can't knowingly violate the Bible and have a... God says, don't mock me. I'm fine. I have it. Don't mock me. It affects everybody. God blesses righteousness and God curses sin and disobedience. In Psalm 37, God's talking about the righteous. Those that take their Christianity seriously. Those that are in church when the doors are open. Those that work at being faithful. Those that are interested in 7 day a week Christianity. They don't want Jesus left at church concerning their lifestyle at their house. They want Jesus pleased in the home and at the church. Faithful Christians backslide, but it is a slow process of deception and faulty thinking. They don't jump or fall into it. Every Christian that backslides normally doesn't know it until they get backslidden. You normally don't find out you're backslidden until you're backslidden. Because the logic and the reasoning and the justification works you into a position to where I'm okay. I'm fine. Come on. Oh, doing this is going to send me to hell. You know, it's justified and it's toyed with in the mind till finally the heart's cold and it's like, uh-oh. And normally God touches the heart when you're backslidden. And God points it out. You see, Psalm 119 verse 59 says this, I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimonies. When I finally started thinking, you know, I don't love the Lord like I used to. My Bible time is not exciting like it used to be. Man, it's been over. How long has it been since I led a soul to Christ? I'm in a real dry spell here. I thought on my ways and turned my feet. You know what? I need to change something. If I keep doing, I don't want this to get worse. I'm backslidden now and I thought on my ways. I thought on what I was doing and then turned my feet unto thy testimonies. Before any outward manifestation of sin is ever seen in a Christian's life, there's always a gradual falling away internally. Before Achan and Joshua 8 ever took the wedges of gold and silver and the Babylonish garment out of Jericho and put them in his tent, there was something working in his heart that got him to the point that it didn't bother him to disobey God's command. It didn't happen at the spur of the moment. Something was happening before he ever got to Jericho in his heart. I could use Eve tonight when she was tempted. Something happened in Eve's heart that made her vulnerable before Satan came to her. And she had not fallen yet. She was in a perfect environment and did not have a sin nature yet. But she was obviously able to be talked into disobeying God and was justified in her mind. God said Solomon, I think this is amazing, God said Solomon was the wisest man to ever walk the earth. There'll be no one richer or wiser before you or after you, ever. And yet Solomon, in all of his wisdom, built an idol and worshipped a false god. He had allowed his heart to be turned away from the true God because of his idolatrous wives. Backsliding, once again, I know I'm driving this point home, but backsliding never happens overnight. If a Christian goes into a life away from God, it is gradual. It's gradual. It's slow. It's backsliding. I'm facing that direction, but I'm sliding backwards. Psalm 37 verse 1 tonight, the law of his God is in his heart, and none of his steps shall slide. As I was studying, I thought of this verse in the New Testament, Jude 24. Just listen closely. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before His presence of His glory with exceeding joy. I have relied on that verse as a child of God. There is one, Lord, I have faults, I have weak spots in my life, and Lord, and there is one who can keep you from falling and to present you faultless. All right? That's Jude verse 24. When you let this represent your spiritual walk, you're in Psalm 37, look up there at verse number 23. Look at verse 23. Look at how he's talking about steps in your walk with God and a spiritual walk and how it's a righteous man. Look at this. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad? Though he fall, he's upholden by the Lord. And the steps of a good man, then in verse 31, his steps shall not slide. His steps shall not slide. Lord, I don't want to backslide. I don't want God used David to pen this. He doesn't want to backslide, and I think every Christian should have that desire. So, tonight's outline, 3 points, right? It's in a phrase. It's real easy. If you just write the phrase down, you'll have the outline. Are you ready? The best thing in the best place produces the best results. That's the outline tonight. The best thing in the best place produces the best results. That's the outline for tonight. Okay, so if you haven't written it, I'll give you one more time. The best thing in the best place produces the best results. What is the best thing? Okay, the best thing is going to be the Word of God. The Word of God is in his heart. The best thing is the Word of God. You see, here we go. We're back again to the subject of the Word of God. Preacher, again, the Word of God is always a reset button. The Christian life only prospers as you focus on the Word of God. As you submit to the Word of God. You are a Baptist when the Bible becomes your boss. I do. I love Jesus. I know everybody's got different levels of it. How much do you yield to this authority? That determines your spirituality. How much does this call the shots? Stay close to the Word of God. What you do with the Word of God determines what God will do with you. The Word of God is in His heart. Take your Bible and go to Psalm 19. We almost sang it tonight, but I'm glad we got to sing the songs that we sang. Psalm 19, verse 7. Ready? Psalm 19. And go look at verse 7. Look at everything that God says His Word does. Psalm 19, verse 7. I love the tune. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da the law of the Lord, that's the Bible, is perfect, converting the soul or changing the soul. The testimony of the Lord, what's that? That's the Bible. That's the law of God. That's the testimony of the Lord. Is sure it makes making wise the simple. So it changes your personality, your soul. It makes you wise. It gives you wisdom. Look at verse 8. The statutes of the Lord. What's that? That's the Bible. That's the Word of God. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. No, nothing makes you happier than spending time in your Bible. Especially in this world. It rejoices your heart. I spent time in the Word of God. My soul got food. And so the statutes of the Lord are right. They rejoice the heart. The commandment of the Lord is, what's that? That's the Bible. It's pure, enlightening or illuminating the eyes. God helps you see things. Verse 9, the fear of the Lord. What's that? That's the Bible. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. Praise God, it's always the same. The judgments of the Lord. What's that? That's the Bible. That's six different testimonies of what, of how, this is how God describes His Word. Six different names God gives His Word. And God says here, the judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. I'll just read verse 10 and 11. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than the honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned. It warns you. There ought to be times when you read your Bible that you feel convicted. I can honestly say this, every time I read my Bible, I've had times where I've read it and God has smitten my heart and I have wept. I have times when I've read it and my heart rejoices. I have times when I have read it and I'm admonished to stay. Greg Nash, don't you do that. Don't you change. Don't you do this. I'm warned. By this I am warned. And I like that verse. And in keeping of them, there is great reward. You see, you can judge your own spiritual temperature by your love and desire for the Word of God. A Christian, listen closely, a Christian that goes 30 days without reading his Bible is capable of any sin. Listen to it. Any Christian that goes 30 days without reading their Bible is capable of any sin. They do not have the spiritual strength. They don't have the ability to resist what Satan throws at them. And anything you are capable, we're all capable of anything. What keeps us from sin? This book. This book. And I love that old quote. A Christian that goes 30 days without reading his Bible is capable of any sin. You see, you're in danger when you get out of God's Word. The Christian life is not designed to operate for a child of God that has no relationship with the Word of God. I have to keep it before us as a pastor because life gets so busy. We're entering into the holidays. Family and travel, and I like all of it. But it takes an amazing amount of discipline to read your Bible when you're away from your house and out of schedule. Well, we're going to family and we're going to have this, that. When you go to family, are you taking your Bible? Are you going to read it? When you're with family, they need to see you. I'm not saying you don't get up every morning, good morning. I mean, you can wait, but watch this. If your family needs, you say, well, my family's long, then your family definitely needs to see you going to church on, okay, Christmas is on Saturday, it's on Sunday this year. Well, we're going to stay home. Okay. How do you celebrate Christmas without Christ? He's the reason for it all. Well, we're with family. I know, but doesn't family need to see your testimony? Doesn't family need to see your determination to live for God? I'm amazed at what we do in the name of family. Well, family determines, you know, family never determines the will of God. And especially if you've got weak Christians or some have lost people in their family, then my goodness, why wouldn't you go to church? And watch this, if somebody's staying at our house, we have family that's done that before through the years. We have family that, you know, stops in and, you know, between my wife's and I family, and they'll stop, and do they have to go to church with us? No. But we're going to church. You say, well, you're the preacher. I know, but I did this before I was a pastor. You say, why? Because they needed to see us go. And they needed to see that they don't keep us from doing what our God requires of us. That's a testimony issue. That's not, well, we're spending, you know, I think, look, God designed the church and the family, and God expects both of them to work together. God doesn't use the church to fight the family or the family to fight the church. God expects both of them to work in harmony. We're getting ready to go in the holidays, and this year, one of the holidays is on a Sunday. I don't think that, I think if you're not in church here, you should be in church wherever you're going. Amen? That makes for strong Christians. It makes weak Christians, well, of course we go. Because then preacher's going to wonder where we are. You know, of course, you know, if we're in town, we go. And preacher wonders where we're at, and he about has a nervous breakdown. Wish the guy just quit drinking coffee, you know. I don't go on vacation where I can't go to church. You say, how do you know? I call ahead of time. Is there a church in this town? Is there a church in this town? I think three times in my life with my family, we tried to go to church and then we got there and that church wasn't having services. Wasn't that a blessing? And it was a holiday thing. We show up, you know, there's the Nash clan. You know, all of us pour out of the van. And then pastor's wife comes out, well, we're not having services now. What? Why? Well, it's a holiday. Oh, okay. I get so angry at that. I'm dirty, stinking. I mean, it's worse than what in the world can't you? But I preach. I'm mad enough I can preach. All I'm saying is we're going into the holidays. Most people have Thursday and Friday off because it's Thanksgiving. Where does God fit in your schedule? And I'm just telling you, it takes enough discipline when we're home reading our Bible. But when you get away from your home and you get out of your schedule and now you've got all this free time, now it really takes a lot of discipline. And if you don't purpose to do it, I promise you it won't happen. I promise you it won't happen. You see, to keep from backsliding, you must stay close to the Word of God. Set a time and a place. Just grit your teeth and get back to reading your Bible every day. As you look up the words prosper and success in the Bible, it's always used to describe Joshua 1:8, Psalm 1, chapter 1. Prospering and success is always linked to describe the Christian that is in God's Word. God does not give success out of His book. He gives no prosperity. You say, I've done fine without reading my Bible. You could have done a lot more if you would have stayed in your Bible. You could have done a lot more. You see, the words, when you read your Bible, this book is called milk, water, honey, meat, light, fire. All of those are basics for our physical life, but they are also basics for our spiritual life. The Bible is basic food for your soul. And I'm so glad we're covering on Wednesday nights how to study your Bible. We'll take a break from it this Wednesday night, but I'm so glad and I want it to be an encouragement to us. Your Christian life is as intense as your love for your Bible. So I said, first of all, the best thing in the best place brings the best results. So the best thing is the Bible. What's the best place? When you look at Psalm 37, our text verse tonight, Psalm 37 verse 1, the law of God is where? In His heart. It's in His heart. None of His steps shall slide. God speaks in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 of fleshly tables of the heart. God's Word has to make it past your eyes in your reading, and it has to be written on your heart. That's why if you want the Bible to influence your walk and your talk, it has to get into the heart. If I read to you Luke chapter 6, just listen, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. Of the abundance of the heart, your mouth speaketh, his mouth speaketh. God says, guard your heart in Proverbs 4. Keep, guard your heart, thy heart, with all diligence, for out of the heart are the issues of life. If you don't guard your heart, evil will come from it. Take your Bible and go to Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15. If you don't guard your heart, evil will come from it, and it will repel the Word of God. Matthew chapter 15. Look at verse number 17. Matthew chapter 15 and look at verse number 17. Matthew 15, look at verse number 17. Do not ye yet understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast into the draught? Look at Matthew 15 verse 18. But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart. Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to say that. Yes, you did. It was in your heart before it came out of your mouth. Out of your mouth, it was first in your heart. And that's what Jesus said. Then look at verse 19. For out of the heart proceedeth evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, theft, false witness, and blasphemies. Seven sins, God's number of perfection, proceed from the heart. If you don't guard your heart gets hard and cold. You have to protect your heart. That's why it's, you say, oh, you're talking about reading your Bible. I'm talking about loving your Bible. Your heart is your emotions. It takes you putting the Bible in your heart. It's not enough to come to church. It's not enough just to hear a sermon. It's not enough just to read your Bible. It's not enough. I hope you have good music, and if you don't, I'll give it to you. But it's not enough to listen to good music. You have to let the Word of God get in your heart. You say, "Oh, well, I'm in church, I'm reading my Bible." I've known a lot of Christians that were faithful to church and were backslidden and as cold as the day is long. Everybody knows this. Going to church doesn't make you spiritual. It allows you, but it does not make you spiritual. When you came to church tonight, you're obedient. But you're not spiritual. You're spiritual as you apply the Bible to your heart. But tonight, praise God, you're here, and I'm glad you're here. But you are obedient in being to church, but being in church tonight does not determine your spirituality. It determines your obedience. That is on its way to spirituality. And, you know, we have a lot of kids, you know, praise the Lord, that are growing up in our church. And if they aren't careful, they're going to get used to going through the motions. And here we are again. We're at church. I'm sitting. I'm singing. I'm listening. I'm reading. And then it's just, wah, 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 and you're going through the motions. And then by the time they're 18, I've been going to church and sitting and singing and then, you know, reading and hearing and okay, now I'm free to do what I want to do. And it never reached the heart. It never reached the heart. The law of God is in his heart and his steps shall not slide. Psalm 119 verse 11 said, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." What keeps me from sin? What I allow, Colossians chapter 3, set your affections, your desires, allow yourself to love the Word of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. I have to allow myself to love the Word of God. The law of God is in his heart. A youth group takes off when the teenagers memorize the Word of God and they love the Word of God and they read the Word of God. One day we're going to have a King's Kids program that's a scripture memory program. The key to it is getting the Word of God into the heart, the getting them to memorize the Word of God. God's Word written in our heart keeps us from sin. God's Word written in our heart keeps us serving God. Jeremiah 20 verse 9, and just listen closely to this verse. Jeremiah said, "Then said I, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. But his Word was in my heart as a burning fire shot up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay." He said, "I'm quitting the ministry." And you know what kept Jeremiah from quitting serving God? The Word of God in his heart. The Word of God keeps you from sin, and the Word of God also keeps you from quitting if it goes in the heart. If it goes in the heart. Jeremiah 20 verse 9 is a beautiful illustration of that. I said tonight, the best thing in the best place brings the best results. We said the best thing is the Word of God. We said the best place for the Word of God is in your heart. And then that brings the best results, the last part of Psalm 37:31, none of his steps shall slide. If God's Word is in your heart, then God says your steps won't slip. You won't experience backsliding. How do you keep from backsliding? You see, some never grow. And there's no danger of them backsliding because they've never grown spiritually. Some don't. Just because you're saved doesn't mean you grow spiritually. And some haven't. There's a few that haven't. And they're in no danger of backsliding. Because they're right where they've always been since they've been saved. They still walk like they did, talk like they did. They're saved, glory to God, but there's been no change since I've been saved. There's been no change. Okay, if you don't know the song, okay, it's an old teenage song. There's been a great change. Some say there's been no change. I still do what I used to do. This message tonight is important to those who've grown and could backslide. Don't get away from God's Word. I think I like the holidays. I like the cool weather. I can't wait till it snows because my wife has the tradition of fixing cinnamon rolls. I love my wife's cinnamon rolls. They're In the South, they're called sticky buns. All right? And they're yummy. And I like to just watch my sugar level go up this high and just eat them to pass out. I love this time of year. But I also realize this is also, if there was a time, it's more dangerous than the summer. It's now. Because things start changing. And yeah, I get a break from work and this, and I take break and it. But the discipline of reading your Bible is essential. You have to stay in the book. Or you're going to end up getting to January, and we made it through Thanksgiving and Christmas and the New Year's, and your heart's just as cold as the temperatures outside. You see, nobody in this room is a robot. Life moves along, and we all have the ability to backslide. Then your heart gets cold. Then you get critical. Then you get negative. Then things start irritating you that didn't irritate you before. And then people start irritating you that didn't irritate you before. And you start wondering, what's wrong with everybody? It's like the guy that, you know, he's taking a nap and his daughter comes up and puts, you know, Limburger cheese under his on his lip. And he wakes up, man, his couch stinks. Walks out, I need some fresh air. Goes out and, backyard stinks. Goes to the front yard. Man, this front yard, what in the world? The whole world stinks! It's because he's got Limburger cheese underneath his mustache, on his mustache. You ever seen Christians? Man, this church stinks. When they were going to have a choir stinks. Sunday school stinks. Youth group stinks. Bus ministry stinks. Soul winning stinks. Bible stinks. Preacher stinks. And things are pretty much the same as they've always been. The problem is you're backslidden. The problem is you're backslidden. You see, your spiritual temperature is determined by your attitude towards God's Word. Your attitude towards the church is determined by your attitude towards God's Word. Your attitude toward each other is determined by your love for God's Word. Psalm 37:31. The law of His God. The law of God is in His heart. And His steps shall not slide. How do you keep from backsliding? Put the best thing in the best place, and it'll give you the best results. Let's pray. Father, please, I ask that.